Van Halen too.
Yeah, but David Lee Roth time. Not
the new guy.
Not the new guy. Or the new guys. Yeah. Any of the incarnations after 1984.
It's always weird. I feel like a lot of those bands are franchises for some reason. It's like, I saw a picture of Guns N' Roses playing somewhere. I'm like, who the hell are those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, and who's that lady fronting them? Like, what's going on?
That's Rose. Yes. Not Axl Rose. It's just Rose.
Rose now. Which is fine.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
This is a somewhat special episode.
Yeah.
This is a few of our favorite things, wherein Katie and I are going to talk about our favorite things.
These are things that are our favorites.
Yeah, that we like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that we talk about so many things, like there's a lot of
penises and advice.
Those are great, too.
We like those things, but they're not our favorite things.
Yeah, so why don't you talk a little bit about
My favorite things? Yeah. I'm going to start off right away with, because I just got back from a trip, and, you know, I hate to fly, and one of the ways that I amuse myself on the flight is to read SkyMall.
Oh.
But this time when I got on, there was no SkyMall, because SkyMall went bankrupt in January.
Are you kidding?
Now, a company in Bergen County, big up for New Jersey, is buying them and is trying to bring them back. But basically, they filed for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they weren't making money. I mean, the kind of products that they sell at SkyMall, you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to look online, and I found some of my favorite SkyMall products. Oh, by the way, SkyMall says that they went out of business because people were using devices and, like, watching videos and not reading SkyMall and buying SkyMall stuff.
Well, of course, because now they have their own entertainment. So before there were devices that you could bring on a plane,
there was just SkyMall.
There was just SkyMall.
Yeah.
Unless you thought ahead and you brought your book.
And what I love about SkyMall is it always says on the front, like, take it. We'll restock it.
Yeah.
Of course you will.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to sell something. So these are my favorite things on SkyMall that will be missed. The Magic Wand Remote Control. I don't know if you remember this one. It looks like a twig. It is forged with a motion-sensing accelerometer. It detects the hand's nuanced movements and translates into 13 distinctive gestures. So you can use it to pause something, to play, to change channels.
Oh, really? It's a magic wand.
It looks like a magic wand.
See,
it looks like a long stick.
I like that.
And it actually works, but you have to know how to use it correctly with your wrist.
With your wrist. Your wrist.
With my wrist.
You better have the right kind of wrist for that.
Here's one that I like, too. No wrist required. It's the beer pager.
What is that?
So it's a drink holder that's wired for sound, and if you walk away from your drink, you forget what it is. You press a remote, and it lights up and beeps at you. That way you can find your beer.
I like the idea, but also, I don't think I've ever lost a drink in my life.
Me either. They say, their questions are, who loses a beer?
Yeah.
And who loses a beer close enough to see a flashing light? Like, you have to be close to your beer to find your beer again once it starts flashing and singing at you.
Right.
That's
like, the only identification that I need is maybe a wine charm.
You know, so you know that it's your wine. This is $24.95.
Yeah, these are like sets of little rings that you put on your wine stems.
Yeah, so you know it's yours at a party.
Right.
Isn't it the Siamese slanket? You know what a slanket is. A slanket is a giant blanket that you wear.
It has sleeves.
It has sleeves. So this is a Siamese one. So
this is for the SL.
And your friend.
Yeah.
Can watch together.
Okay.
Siamese. It's just loose sleeves, lightweight, warm fleece. So there's one big sleeve on either side, and you sit next to someone, and you put your left arm out the one side, they put their right out the other side.
That's creepy.
It's a slanket.
That's
$40.
It's creepy.
It is creepy.
I'm sorry if it's one of your favorite
and
things.
And then my
do you have one of these, Jaquetta?
No.
All right.
These are my other... I've never bought anything from SkyMall, which is why I think they went out of business. I don't know anyone who's ever actually purchased an item from SkyMall. Everyone loves it, but who buys from it? And my actual favorite is the human slingshot. It's a game. It's a giant rubber band. It's like 10 feet, and the rubber band's like 2 feet thick. And you get inside of it, and you sling each other around. And so someone has a concussion.
This is
a game.
You sling it.
Imagine a rubber band, right? And we're inside the rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just running back and forth, pulling each other around inside the rubber band. It's called the human slingshot.
Oh, I kind of thought that you could get into it like a slingshot.
And fling yourself?
And fling.
Well, you probably could, but I don't think they suggest that.
Okay.
Although, I kind of like that idea better. I like the idea that two people would stand and then I would just go in the middle and run backward and fling myself.
No, no. I envision that there is, or there are two posts okay. that hold the edges. And then there is
a real old school slingshot.
Yeah, and then there's a stand, and you have your friends help you pull back.
My God, that sounds worse.
to the podium where
and you then they just let you fly,
and then you back into it, and then you fly.
Are those really your friends? I mean, honestly, that's worse than the original use for the thing.
Where
we just run around in a circle until we're all concussed.
Yeah.
Until someone flings themselves in the traffic.
Right.
But you're actually going to sling people.
Yes.
I like it.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
So
I'm kind of disappointed with your version.
$99 from SkyMall. Well, how did they go out of business? They also sold such wonderful things as a human-sized Yeti for your lawn.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They also have, cat palaces, and they have a million
a
things.
What?
Cat palaces. Mm-hmm. And a million things to regrow your hair if you're a dude.
Okay.
Anything from a helmet to a headband.
Nice.
To
put
a schmata.
Put it on there.
And red lights come out of it. No one's the wiser. Boom. Fresh head of hair.
All right.
Next day. So SkyMall, one of my favorite things.
Cool.
What do you have?
Well, I have, there was a box that I have on one of my shelves. And it's a black photo box, you know, maybe 11 by 9 inches or something. I don't know. And in it, I keep things that have made me very happy.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of reminders.
These are small things.
Very small things.
Small things.
Small
okay.
things. That,
trinkets.
That remind me of something that happened that has made me just happy without any problems.
Okay. What's in there?
Okay.
Is
first
there a
brother,
tooth in there?
A tooth?
A baby tooth.
Why?
I don't know.
You think I pull a tooth from a baby
Who
and
knows?
Put it in the box?
Yes, like randomly.
I like this child.
Yes. Pink.
This tooth will remind me of Sarah.
Full of baby teeth. And I'd be like, that's something I didn't want to know. I don't know what to do with that now. I'm just going to have to pretend like, edit that out and pretend like it never happened.
No, I do not steal children's teeth. The teeth of children that I like.
The tooth fairy is not you when I envision it.
No.
It's not like a well-dressed professional who comes at night and is like, think. Okay, so what's in the box?
Well, first of all, there is a receipt for a really nice coat that I bought.
Awesome.
On sale.
That's so New York right there. I found something in my closet that was on sale. I had a tag, and I was like, yeah, that's right.
I kept it because it was an expensive coat, and I got it on sale, and then I had a coupon, and then it was like super sale. And it was so inexpensive, and I was so happy.
This must be a big department store, because sometimes that happens where you can stack up the sales, and you end up paying nothing.
That's right.
You feel like you're robbing the place.
Right. And it's also a stub from Colin Quinn's show, Long Story Short.
Oh, that's right.
That was great. You were there with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a great night. It was a good show. It was a really good
what
show.
What happened to
fun.
It? Oof, nothing. Long story short, the end.
So
it was a fun
it
show.
It did its job.
It did.
It made its way.
It didn't need to continue.
I have a note from my friend's daughter, who was, I think, 6 or 7 at the time. And we were going to... her mother and I were going to take her somewhere.
This is an IOU.
We said, where do you want to go? Make a list of places that you want to go.
Okay.
You know, thinking that she'll be like, you know, to Dave and Buster's or something, like, whatever that is.
Something you could actually get to.
And her list was San Diego.
San Diego, okay.
Hollywood.
Okay.
Mexico.
Okay.
Lunch. New York City, trapezing, and New Jersey. And that's where
trapezing?
Yeah, let's go trapezing somewhere. So,
lunch.
Yeah. And then there's another note from my own niece signed thank you with her first and last name.
Yeah. For the little people. This will be worth something. Hold on to it.
And then off to the side it said love and then her first name. So, it was, you know, just...
Less formal. Thank you, but love.
One of my other favorite things was I asked my friend, you know, can you...
Wait, are they going to hear this and want this thing back?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Oh,
maybe
God.
Leave it out. Forget it. Forget it. If it's something that they want back, forget about it. Now all your friends are going to be like, did I give that bitch something?
Right. Everyone's...
Don't worry about it. It's something from me. Don't worry about it. That's a wonderful favorite thing, that mystery item. That's my favorite thing in the box is the item that you stole from a friend.
Yeah.
And then pretending like you don't have the item.
I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I'm going
to... Caution to the wind.
So I borrowed a stack of books from a friend.
That is the worst.
Yeah, and she wrote a note in each one. She
placed, give this back? It does. It's a little note that was like, don't forget who you borrowed these from. Don't play me. I want these back. These are borrowed books. That, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that she described the size of the box. So that's what's mostly in the box. And then these other small receipts are like at the bottom. It's just a box of this woman's books. That she'll never see again.
The notes all were a little something personal about why she liked this book at a certain time in her life.
Wow, and how she's never going to see it again.
A little anecdote.
I don't feel bad about it. I have three of your books. I'm keeping them.
I know you have my books.
In exchange for this woman's book. I'm holding those books ransom.
Oh, it's until we have, I give you proof that I gave her back.
Exactly,
her
until I hear from back. That friend. I will keep in the wordy shipmates.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that go into that box.
I'm looking around now, like, is anything missing? Have I lent her anything?
Was there a cute note inside?
No, probably not. You're like, then I threw it out. Well, yeah,
I like that. I like the idea. Also, like, throughout my life, people will send me notes. Like, I don't know why this happens, but some people will put a note in my purse.
That's weird.
Be like,
they watch your back.
You're off.
Like, what the hell? I just looked in this purse 2 seconds ago.
And they'll be like, you're awesome. Or something. And they'll say something nice. And I save those. And
oh, that's nice.
That's it.
I don't know if I... You know, I find a lot... This is like... I always find playing cards. I always find that weird.
People put playing cards in your purse?
That's like a serial killer thing, right? I'm like, oh, it's the Ace of Diamonds. Oh, no!
Clubs. Nine of clubs. Watch your back.
Watch your back.
Right.
I like that. That's cool.
Yes, that's what I do. I put those things in there. And then, you know, when I want to be in a good mood or something, then I look in the box. I'm like, yeah, this was a nice
those
day.
Books are in there. Staring back at you. You don't even like those books. But you like that someone else liked them.
Yeah.
And that goes in the box.
Yes.
I like that. You tell your friends totally give me like Facebook the next time this comes up. Like, hey, I know you got my books. So I want to talk about one of my favorite things, yeah. And that is sharks. I love sharks. I've always been fascinated by sharks. When I was in third grade, I did a summer camp that was just sharks, and it was so awesome. We just did film strips on sharks.
Oh, I love sharks too. That's where we are of one mind. And a little known fact,
Katie is a shark.
Yeah, I am a shark. I am part shark.
Part shark.
Part shark. But our logo used to be a shark jaw.
That's right. We started out with the open shark mouth, yeah, and then we moved on to actual logo. Then we have our own. So this, I just want to give a little how-to on this, how to avoid a shark attack. Now, this has always been an issue for me because, you know, the easiest way to avoid a shark attack is just don't get in the water where there's sharks.
Sure.
People don't be able to seem to follow that simple thing. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because it seems like in the United States, we have more shark attacks than anywhere else in the world. We have about 56 a year. Mm-hmm. Most places only have, like, the rest of the world, I think, has, like, 6.
Okay.
So, we only lose one person per year.
You know why?
Out of 56.
Because we're chubby.
Yeah, because we're chubby and we like to be in the water.
As a nation, that's one of our favorite things to do, go to the water with our chubby selves. I'm not putting everybody down.
Do you think the sharks are skipping by the lean people?
Yes.
And being like, forget it, why even bother?
But it makes sense.
Last year, there were no shark-related fatalities, although there were 52 shark attacks. Isn't that crazy? That's a lot. There are 72 unprovoked shark attacks on humans in the world, and there were some examples of provoked attacks. And a provoked attack includes a fisherman wearing his bloody catch. I don't feel like that's provoking a shark.
No.
Or someone harassing a shark. And you know what? If you get eaten during that, whatever.
That's your own fault.
That's on you.
And nobody should cry at your funeral.
No. No one's going to.
Don't provoke a shark.
It says, watch out for sharks. Our most important thing is to avoid swimming near fish. Really? So stay away from shark food.
Right.
Avoid deep channels and troughs between sandbars and underwater drop-offs. Just try to do that.
Exactly. So
please.
Just like if you put your fingers in my M&M bowl, you may not come back with fingers.
Stay out of murky water that makes it hard for you to see a shark. And for sharks to see that you're a human, not a fish or a seal, they don't care.
They don't.
I think they just see like a meat bag.
And they don't have religion.
No, they don't care. They don't have religion. It is, don't swim alone, because sharks are less likely to go after groups of swimmers. I don't know about that. Don't swim at dawn or dusk. And then last it says avoid...
Dawn or dusk, because it's a little
That's when they come out.
Yeah.
That's the feeding time. Right. It also says it don't wear any bling in the water.
Sure. Well,
so in conjunction with that, I just wanted to share.
Everybody loves bling. All kinds of animals.
Yes. Every barracuda.
Birds.
I just want to also mention my favorite shark movies. I've seen over 50 shark movies.
Yeah. That's a little known fact. I didn't know there were that many.
Oh, there are a lot. And I'll just give you my favorites, because these are a few of my favorite shark movie things. Two-Headed Shark Attack. Deep Blue Sea, which is one of my favorite. Yeah. I've seen it dozens of times. I have it at home. Hammerhead 1 and 2, about a mutant hammerhead shark-human hybrid. Jaws 1, 2, 3D, and The Revenge.
Nice.
I didn't see Jaws in Japan. Didn't know that one came out.
I didn't even know that existed.
I also enjoyed Jersey Shore Shark Attack, Killer Albino Shark. It's a killer albino. I don't know what
says. All right.
Also, Jurassic Shark. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, and Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
There's a lot of Mega Sharks and Dino Sharks.
No, that was Mecha.
Oh, Mecha.
So
shark.
This is a mechanical shark. Raging
See,
Sharks.
See, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah, but it's still shark. There's a regular shark. It's Mega Shark versus mechanical shark. So whose side are you on? We don't know, you know. Redwater, Shark in Venice, which was a shark that got into the canal. Sharknado, of course. Sharktopus. And then here's a movie that I really want to see. I think it'll be my next favorite shark movie. It's Sharktopus versus Terracuda.
Nice. That's nice.
So it's a pterodactyl barracuda hybrid versus a shark octopus hybrid.
Nice.
And that's coming out.
I like it.
That came out in 2014. Yeah. So there's a few of my favorite things are sharks and then just crappy shark movies. Mm-hmm. I don't like a good shark movie. It has to be bad.
But Jaws is on there. Those are good movies.
Jaws 1 is a good movie.
Yeah. So that was...
By the time they end up with Mario Van Peebles down in the Caribbean, it's no longer a good movie.
Okay. Got it.
When the wife is the main character, everyone else has left the scene. Not so good. Yeah. All right. Well, so what's one of your favorite things?
I like a nice 2 or 3 hour cocktail party.
Oh!
With past hors d'oeuvres.
Wow. Okay.
That is actually one of my favorite things when you...
2 to 3 hours max?
That's it. 2 to 3 hours max. It's, you know, it's a short time.
Yeah. So you can pizzazz yourself.
Yeah. It's an open bar, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of
Say
people.
No more.
Right.
You have to be an open bar.
And then people walk up to you with little snacks.
Oh, I like that too.
And a variety of them.
Now,
too.
Do you prefer it to be standing the whole time?
Yes.
Standing mingling?
It's standing mingling.
Okay.
And maybe a few chairs so you can, like...
Now,
do you
stay till the end of the party?
Yes. Yeah. I do.
You do?
I stay until all the snacks are gone.
And the booze is no longer flowing.
Right.
Now, do you get, say the party ends at 10, it's 9:55, do you re-up?
I will, yes.
On your glass of wine.
Yeah. When they have the last call, when they say, you know, it's time for this.
Because for me, it's not really last call until they're like, look, you got to get out.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home.
I leave when I go up to the bar, and then they say, we're not serving anymore. And
we're not serving you anymore. Well, you just served her. Look, we're not serving you.
It's you.
You're cut off. Oh, well, I like that.
It's fun, because they have a variety of snacks, and people walk up to you with them, too. It's a good and it's a good time, and then it's done. And so it doesn't have to, you don't have to, and then you can go somewhere else afterwards. It's a wonderful way to spend
a few hours. Oh, okay. Well, here's something that I don't know if this will shock you or not, but one of my favorite things is the World's Strongest Man Strongman competition. I always watch it.
Do you?
Yes, I love it. My favorite is, there's a guy, Pujanowski. He's won like 3 times in a row, mm-hmm. Polish.
Pujanowski.
So the World's Strongest Man is a strongman competition. There are imitators, so watch out.
Okay. We want the real thing here. So Jaquetta is our guide to the...
So the current sponsors are Commerce Casino, Tonka, Metrex, and PartyPoker.com. And they have a number of rival competitions, including the Strongman Super Series. Don't watch it. Mm-hmm. And the now-defunct IFSA Strongman World Championships. After the International Federation of Strength Athletes parted company from the WSM. And the Strongman Champions League. So you want to watch the World's Strongest Man. That's the one you're looking for.
That's it.
That's the
good
one.
The World's Strongest Man.
Usually it's
going to be a Polish guy up there.
It's a lot of times a Polish guy.
Yeah, because you know what?
Strong.
Strong peasant stock.
Strong.
That's what, hey, that's what
also,
I come from.
Tons of Scandinavian. You should see Katie throw a log.
Yeah.
So these are some of the, I just wanted to do my favorite pieces of the competition. They do a truck and airplane pull, where they have to pull a truck or airplane or a box car or a bus 100 feet by hand. There's a rope on it, and they literally pull it. Like, I'm going to make it, going to make it. They also have Atlas stones. They're 5 heavy round stones from 220 pounds to 352 pounds, mm-hmm. and they have to carry them around from place to place. It's so awesome. They
do, what's the purpose?
To show that they're strong.
Okay.
They do the deadlift, and for the deadlift, they don't lift weights. They lift vehicles that are about 1,100 pounds. Can you imagine? So it's like a car. It's like a barbell, and there's like a car on each side.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you. Like a Hyundai or something.
That would hurt my back.
It's not for us.
No.
There's also a keg toss. The competitors have to throw a keg.
Is it empty or full?
No, they're filled with weight.
Oh.
So
what a waste of a keg.
They have to throw it over a 15-foot-high steel wall. They got to fling it. Maybe that's why Pugunovsky is the winner.
Probably.
That seems like something he would have to do.
Yeah.
They have to carry and drag an anchor attached to a chain, mm-hmm. like a distance. They have to they do a tug of war, mm-hmm. and you should see these guys are huge. It looks like someone's drawn it. Like, it doesn't look right. It looks like Tom of Finland with clothes on.
Oh my God,
these guys. Then there's also
I wonder what they're like at the office. These guys.
A lot of these guys work on farms in like Norway.
All right,
and they're huge. Except for Pugunovsky, he does like modeling
and sales.
Of course. Sales. They have a crucifix that they have to drag from one place to another. And then they have the stone circle. So a competitor must move around the circular platform while carrying a basket of heavy stones.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. So
I like that. I like that as a nice metaphor for like your problems.
So 5 times, Mariusz Pugunowski has won. He's representing Poland. And then the guy who's won is Zydrunas Zavickas from Lithuania.
Who?
Zydrunas Zavickas. He won 4 times.
Wow.
Next year.
And he's not a household name. I wonder why.
Pugunovsky is pretty well known, actually. Yeah. He was in New York, and I was like, I'm going to go see him. And I was like, what am I going to do?
Just talk to him.
Get there.
Hi.
Yeah, that's it. So the World Strongman competition, last year it was in Los Angeles, which is pretty awesome, and this year it's going to be in Malaysia. I would love to go and see this competition. It gets out of control. Like, these guys are, there's one thing where they actually have to toss a log, like mm-hmm. a 15-foot log. They have to throw it. They're pulling trucks, boats. Sometimes when they do the deadlifts, it's not cars, it's groups of people. Like, 4
wow.
people on one side,
wow.
4 people on the other side, and they have to, you know, bench press these people, basically.
Do people, they get on scales first?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay.
They want to balance it out. They don't want one side where it's just like a very, you know, small, a model.
Yeah.
And the other side, it's like 4 bodybuilders.
Right.
But it's pretty, yeah, the World's Strongest Man. Do not let it get confused with Strongman Champions League or Strongman Super Series. That's not what you want. You
right.
want the World's Strongest Man.
Email Jaquetta at heyyouknowit@gmail.com
yes.
and she will clarify in case
I will
you
clarify it.
Didn't get the right one.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I really like is to sing songs around a campfire.
Really?
Just for
Did
a little
you go
while.
To camp?
No.
Just for a little
No, no. I don't like being outside for a long time, which...
that makes this difficult.
Yeah, so...
Do you drive in?
Drive in
okay.
for the evening.
As close as you can get to the
yeah.
fire.
Get out of there. Get out of there.
And where did you do this growing up? Are there places in New Jersey where you can pretend to camp?
No, we're not even, it's not camping, really. It's a campfire. It's what? Like, people have fire pits outside in their yards.
What?
Yeah.
In the suburbs?
Yeah. You go, if it's a suburb that's, like, out there somewhere, and
I'm
people
say.
Have, like, more property.
Okay. It's not the suburbs I'm thinking where you got, like, a quarter acre. I'm
no,
like, damn.
No, no, no. Some places, like, you have, like, 2 acres, 3 acres,
okay.
maybe. And off to the side, you can have a fire pit. And then you go there, and you sit. And just sing a song. It's fun.
What kind of song do you guys sing? Like Bon Jovi? Or
whatever, but with an acoustic guitar. Bon Jovi.
When did all this happen? What was the... describe to me the clothing that you were wearing while this was going on.
It's usually the fall.
I need to paint a picture.
It's usually the fall. So
okay.
there's jeans and maybe some kind
is
of
Is there
boot.
A plaid shirt?
Some kind of... Yeah, there is a plaid shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like costume.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get all dressed up like country people and go out in the backyard. I'm imagining you guys dressing up like the way I grew up and you
yeah.
guys going out there and being like, hey, does anyone have a lighter?
Yeah, yeah basically.
Is it like a gas fire?
It's actually? Like play roughing it, but we're camping. And then you leave.
That's interesting.
That's what I kind of like that. And then I also like the idea. This is where you're outside during the day.
Okay.
And then you come back in at night and you're like tired from being out all day long.
Wow. You did grow up in the suburbs. because going outside is an activity, getting exhausted by the sheer fact of being. What are you guys doing?
Like doing like fresh air activities and things like that. Like you might go hiking or rock climbing or something like that. And you spend the day out and you're like dressed, you're outdoors and you get
a lot
of oxygen.
See, that makes more sense. Yeah.
And you get
Did you order stuff from L.O. Bean specifically for this fresh air activity?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then you come back in and it's like whatever you did in that activity, it's like your shoes get so muddy that you have to take them out and take them off and put them in the trunk.
Wow.
And have another
That's
pair
like
of shoes
us
ready.
Walking from the car to the house where I'm from.
Right.
So I kind of like that because when I was younger, I'd like to go into the city and like walk around and go to the mall. Okay. I thought that was like my suburban thing. And I would dress suburban, clothing from the Limited.
Yes.
Two pairs of socks.
Right.
T-shirt, rolled. And I would be in the mall. And then I would go home and put my country clothes on.
Right. And that's the same thing. So then you're done with your, done with my hike or whatever. And then I'm back
you're
at home.
You're like, look, I got a Cinnabon.
Yeah.
Look at this. I went to like an ethnic restaurant in a food mall.
Right.
Or
I was
back.
High on top of a mountain looking down, and the rocks were really dangerous.
And then I'm like, and I was in a glass elevator.
Yeah.
And it went all the way to the fourth floor.
Yeah.
And we saw everybody.
Good. So it's a little tourism, but then you come home and you can relax.
And it's over.
Oh,
I like that.
And I like that a lot. And then there's two kinds of things that I really liked, but I don't have any more, but they're my favorite.
Okay.
Favorite food is a Taylor ham and cheese sandwich.
Yes, we've talked about the Taylor. Are they no longer making Taylor ham?
No, they do make it.
You just know
I know what's in it. I still love it, though, but it's one of my favorite all-time sandwiches to have. A Taylor ham and cheese on a roll.
See, that is why when ketchup. They say, when companies were fighting putting the ingredients and the nutritional value on things, this is why.
Yeah.
There are so many things that because of that now, especially in New York, I no longer would get any at Starbucks ever.
Yeah.
Because I know what the I like some of the stuff, but it's like, really? 500 calories for like, it's like a piece of cake on a stick covered with some fondant.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, like, forget
and
about
now
it.
You know. Well, no, but still, it's like, it's a fond memory. I have nothing against it. And I'll probably, you know what? I may have one or two.
What about Famiglia? Or Sbarro.
No.
You can't I think that they only exist in places where they don't have to show the calorie content.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just run people off.
Right. You just see that the name and you're done.
You're like, how does a salad have 1,000 calories?
Yeah.
Sbarro. Okay. Well, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. I also like some other things that I'm going to say it. I like stories about fairies and gnomes.
Okay.
Okay. I don't read enough about them, meaning, like, not that I can't get enough of that, I'm a voracious reader of it. I don't read about them.
But you like them.
I like the idea of them. I like the stories. There were a couple of, like, from my childhood, there were a few books that we had read, and I was like, that's a pretty cool, like, little world.
But I'll just leave that world.
Yeah.
And go on to other things.
But if I were to, that would be something interesting to read about.
Maybe.
I'd like little fairies, the ones that live in the flowers.
Oh, okay. That's very specific.
And the gnomes are not like the Travelocity gnomes. These are other gnomes. They have their own thing going on.
Is the Travelocity gnome a type of gnome now?
You know what? It's a bastardization of the gnome genre.
In Sky Mall, they have these little gnome sculptures that are skeletons of gnomes with hats on. It's like the scariest thing ever.
It's terrible.
They're like, you know, they're like zombie gnomes.
Yeah, there was a big, thick book about gnomes and where they live and, you know, how they dress and what they're, the whole thing. And I'd love to know more.
But you're not going to read the book? That's the thing. And this is what's so weird about nowadays. It's like, okay, you're not going to go to the library and find it, and you're not going to go to a bookstore and buy it. Like, unless that book magically appears.
That's right.
Poof.
Right.
You know, as the gnomes do. That's it. I did not know that you were into gnomes.
I like them.
You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Dinosaurs and religion.
I love dinosaurs too.
But I like dinosaurs and religion mixed together.
Oh, no.
So I found this on World Church Society something. It says, you don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. You use the Bible to explain dinosaurs, says Ken Ham.
Wait.
So this is a guy who's going to give us a biblical explanation for dinosaurs, which dinosaurs, fine.
But why does the Bible have to tell you about dinosaurs?
I don't know. That's what I find. Like, is someone? I feel like this is a Christian website, but I bet you there are people here who are like, dude, no one asked you about this, man. Like, we're supposed to be talking about other stuff.
Because dinosaurs are cool, and they're trying to make religion sound cool too.
So he's trying to get dinosaurs. People have often wondered how dinosaurs fit into the Bible. I never wondered that once growing up. I was never like, why aren't there dinosaurs in here? Yeah. The same reason I'm like, why isn't TV in here?
Yeah.
Why isn't that mentioned in the Bible? How come, you know, Asian people are, you know, whatever. So this guy is the Creation Museum founder. And I think in the Creation Museum, they went ahead and put, like, Stegosaurus and things like that and the Easter Bunny, who knows. He said
the Creation Museum, right?
Yeah. Oh, God. So he said, he's the founder, he said that this shouldn't be the case. People shouldn't be using the Bible to explain dinosaurs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But he says, you see, those who are trying to squeeze dinosaurs somewhere into the Bible are usually starting with man's interpretation of dinosaurs.
Man's interpretation.
Yes. Based on fallible man's ideas about the past and can't understand how the Bible and the understanding of dinosaurs go together, he wrote in his blog. But we shouldn't be starting with man's idea about the past! ! We need to start our thinking with the word in every area. But so here's what he says how dinosaurs fit into the Bible. He says dinosaurs are simply land animals created on day 6, and like the rest of the animals, they were vegetarian. Until Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God, so they began to eat meat. I don't remember.
I don't think that
vegetarianism.
Happened. And why day 6? Oh yeah, because they were big.
But I don't remember. And I went to Sunday school, as I would always say, religiously. I was forced to go. I was the only person there. I think I know.
You were the only one.
I was often the only one there because I was a girl. The guys got to watch football
and
play around. I had to sit in there, you know, on a really cold metal chair and be bored. So you read pretty closely the early stuff because it's more fun. I don't remember vegetarianism because I think I would have glommed onto that.
They did not. Yeah, I've never heard anything about them.
But I never also heard anything about dinosaurs in the Bible either. The people weren't like, hey, we got to fit this in.
Or that they started eating people because of sin.
Yeah. They turned on.
It's like a slasher movie.
It's a bizarre thing. Well, that could work, actually. Yeah. He says he doesn't think dinosaurs are a mystery. Basically, he's saying the word dinosaur was not invented until the year 1841 when a scientist needed a word for a particular group of animals. And the only reason why dinosaurs were buried in sedimentary layers is because of the Great Flood.
What?
So he's saying that the Great Flood...
I thought you said the Gray Flood. I was like...
Ugh. 50 shades of. This catastrophic flood would have ripped up miles of sediment, trapping and burying creatures that weren't on the ark. These creatures turned into fossils that we dig up today. After the flood, dinosaurs died out for many of the same reasons that species die out today. Changes in climate, habitat, lack of food, human predation, and so on. Who asked this guy about this? Mm-hmm. I love any kind of... trying to, like, apples and orange things together. Mm-hmm. And I love religion, and I love dinosaurs. So this makes this one of my favorite things.
And you
this
say creation, that there's a little bit of sarcasm with the religion.
I'm fascinated by it. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
This Creation Museum, if I get anywhere near it, I'm going and I'm taking a picture of me in front of the Ark with the Plesiosaurus. Yes. Whatever they have with Hadrosaurus.
I hope you break into it. I hope you don't give them any money.
Oh, I'm going to give them money because I'm going to enjoy myself when I get in there.
Okay. And it's worth it.
Is there a bar nearby, is what I'm saying. Like, I'll be the first person to be kicked out. They'll be like, I don't remember black people being on the ark. How come there's only one? Hey, get her out of there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a black power fist from the ark and get bounced out.
Like,
yeah. I'm going to bring something else up there. I'm going to bring someone dressed like the Easter Bunny. And then what else did I bring onto the ark?
You can bring
sushi. That was probably there.
Right.
Two.
Exactly.
Two. So how bizarre. Who
that
asked
so
this
strange.
Guy? Good luck.
Something else that I like. I was thinking about one of my first cars that I ever had was a 68 Cutlass Supreme.
Good Lord. Was it two-tone?
No, it wasn't. It was olive green.
Wow.
With a black roof.
This is even a color terrible. That doesn't... That is two-tone. Olive green with a black roof?
Oh, I guess. All right. Fine.
Olive green is not a car color anymore.
Yeah. It's...
Is it?
No. My grandfather, it was old. It was super old, and he got a new car. And
was the top falling down inside?
No, this was in great shape. It was in wonderful.
So you were rolling deep with this.
And he
did you wear a hat? Just a minute. For some reason, I've made you a pimp.
It was, the back seat was so deep and so far, I know, right? And so far away from the front, the heater didn't reach it.
Could you move it within one continuous front seat that you could move back and forth?
I could move it.
Oh, that's the best.
But then the heater wouldn't reach. So when I drove with my friends, they were freezing. And so I had a blanket back there for my my friends.
Wow.
That's what the blanket was
because
for.
Classy.
Right. And the high beam button was not on the steering column at all. It was on the floor. It was just a button that you had.
Naturally. Because that's a safe place to put things. You want people bending down and, right. and, you know, not looking at the road.
No, you had to do it with your foot because it was next to the gas.
Great. That's a good thing, too.
Right,
it's a great idea.
So my grandfather gave it to me and I was driving it home and it was getting dark.
Okay.
And there was a...
Was like, my granddaughter will love this gem. Yeah, I drove some cars like that, too. I was like, thanks, uncle.
I was happy about it, but it was definitely not cool. But I was like, it was wheels.
You know? It was wheels, yeah.
It was going to get me to where
Free
I was going.
Wheels.
A cop was driving behind me, and then he went in front of me. And then he pulled me over. He came around. He was like, all right, pull up. I'm like, what?
Was he like, this is too much?
He goes, I was in front of you, and you have your high beams on. And
well, then why'd
you're
get
blinding
in front of me?
You're blinding me.
Why are you staying behind me?
I know. Get me behind me, police officer. Yes.
Why don't you just stay in the back where it was safe?
And I was like, I don't know where the high beams are. And he's And he's like, oh. I'm like, I just got it from my grandfather.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I didn't even know it had high beams.
And he's like, oh, check the floor. And he knew. And he was like, the floor. I'm like, oh. And he's like, there. That was...
What was that? Did you say a Cutlass Sierra?
Cutlass Supreme.
It's Cutlass Supreme.
And my other favorite thing from 68... I wasn't born yet, by the way.
Okay.
But
the car was still going.
That's the year of that car that was made. But I also love Elvis's 68 comeback special.
Really?
Oh my God.
What was what form of Elvis was with stage Eddie graduated?
That was skinny Elvis in his
jumpsuit,
black leather.
Oh wow! Now this is early.
And he did a theater. Well, his performance in the round, which means that he. It was a stage with his musicians, and all around the stage, sitting on the floor, were his fans. And he sang to...
Why did he make them sit on the floor?
Because that's how he rolls. Get on the floor, ladies.
In the round is hard, because inevitably, one group is getting... Unless the stage is revolving.
Yeah, the stage isn't, but he worked it.
That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a revolving stage, slowly, you know?
So he, and I, you know, when I heard about this special, I'm like, oh, he did it in the round. Let's see how he did.
Yes, let's see how he worked the stage. Was it good?
It's amazing.
Everyone was served?
And he served it up.
Nice.
One of my favorite things ever.
One of my favorite things is champagne.
Oh,
I know you like champagne too.
I do.
I wanted to look at what's the difference between champagne and Prosecco, because I always think of Prosecco as like the poor man's champagne.
Yeah, you would think so.
It's, first of all, champagne is French. Prosecco is Italian, right? Champagne can only be made from 3 grapes. Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, or Pinot Meunier, and Prosecco is made from 1 grape. Prosecco doesn't last very long. I didn't know this. You get Prosecco, you need to drink it within a couple months.
Oh,
champagne,
really?
You can store for quite a long time.
Why is that?
It's just, it's meant to be gone in a couple of months. It's like one of those things that's just supposed to be fresh. In Italy, they only drink it in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes out, you drink it. It's not like you hold on to it.
It's a nice refreshing.
Yeah, it's refreshing. They say that regular wines are fermented once, sparkling wines are fermented twice, but champagne costs more because they ferment it in a wooden barrel and then it ferments again in the bottle because it stays in the bottle a long time. But Prosecco, they just do it right quick in a stainless steel vat 2 times. Boom.
We know what you're all about.
Yep.
So the Prosecco maker.
And it's quicker, so therefore cheaper. They're saying that cheap champagne, so that's what makes the bubbles, the fermentation process. But the cheap champagne, they pump a carbon dioxide into it like they do with a soda. I didn't know they were carbonated. I had no idea. I'm like, how chintzy can you be?
Aww.
The bubbles aren't even real.
Aww.
So that's why when you have a cheap champagne, you open it, it's like...
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds later, nothing. It's flat.
Oh.
I did not know that.
That's really sad. It's depressing.
The bubbles, it's called mousse. And the smaller and slower the bubbles, the better.
Okay.
But I read that if you have cheap champagne.
Oh, the bubbles are called mousse.
It's called mousse. Okay. Like the head, I guess, as we bring it into the gutter. So if you have cheap champagne and you want it to make it look like expensive champagne, you can scratch the bottom of your glass, the wine glass the flute that you're using. And that little indentation creates more bubbles.
Oh.
Weird. So once you've done that to your glasses,
it'll always look
like there's more.
And then you'll be drinking cut glass.
Yeah, well, no, because glass is a liquid. So it heals itself. You're just scratching it. You're not smashing it.
And drinking shards of glass.
No.
It's worth it. It's worth it for these bubbles.
You just scratch it with a diamond
file. I'm bleeding out of my eyes.
My lips are cut to ribbons.
Yeah.
So interesting. They're saying, here's a tip. You buy your champagne by Halloween. Because the prices apparently go up once...
that's a good tip.
Yeah, once the holiday season starts.
Nope.
Mm. Coming in. So that's one of my favorite things, champagne and Prosecco. I had no idea there was that much of a difference.
Interesting.
Yeah. At least $35, she said, if you're doing champagne. Otherwise, you're not getting the real thing. You're getting carbonated champagne. All right. What do you have?
I have here a couple of things. I mean, these are guilty pleasures. Okay. But they still make me very happy. My favorite thing is old Van Halen songs.
Oh, I like Van Halen, too.
Yeah, but David Lee Roth time. Not
the new guy?
Not the new guy. Nothing. Or the new guys.
Yeah.
Any of the incarnations after 1984.
It's always weird. I feel like a lot of those bands are franchises for some reason. It's like, I saw a picture of Guns N' Roses playing somewhere. I'm like, who the hell are those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, and who's that lady fronting them? Like, what's going on?
That's Rose.
Yes.
Not Axl Rose. It's just Rose.
Rose now. Which is fine. You know, I don't have a problem with it, but it was just like, wow. And also to a lot of these bands, like the Platters, the Four Tops, these like black groups, like four guys, like doo-wop and that kind of thing, they're also a franchise. My aunt was telling me they went on a cruise and they thought they were seeing like the Four Tops and they're like, not a single one of them was a top.
Like, not a top in sight.
No, and it's like somehow they've claimed the name. So it's like, Van Halen like that?
No, I mean,
Van Halen. Like, can we be in it eventually?
No, Van Halen still has 3 out of 4 original members, but I think David Lee Roth is coming back now, and he's an original. There's 4 of them.
So that his, was he being a disc jockey? It didn't work out?
No, he was in EMT for a while, David Lee
Roth. Excuse me?
He felt like it.
Really? Okay.
And he left Swords.
Okay. Not sure how that ties in.
I don't really care too much about their personal life. I think they were there.
You knew quite a bit.
I know.
You mean you don't care for it?
The music was just fun. It reminds me of the younger years.
I like the fact that he would wear tights. And I think I was taking dance at that time. I was like, I'll wear tights too. I might as well jump.
Yeah. And I found the video for, what was it?
Was it Panama?
No, but when he went solo, I think it was Yankee Rose was David Lee Roth.
It's hard to like do that shtick solo, right?
Did he
fly in on wires?
He flew in on wires. He did his kicks and jumps. But he had cutouts not only. He had the spandex. It was really...
It was like Cirque du Soleil before Cirque du Soleil.
It was not just a top and pants. They had all kinds of things going on, like a tank top and then a shirt over.
There was a lot.
Cutouts in the shoulders.
There was lacing. There was a lot of lacing.
Lacing and strategic rips everywhere. And then, you know, the
leopard prints.
The assless chaps.
Well, I mean, that's classic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are very few men. He can do it. Prince can pull it off. I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. But the showmanship is really just go back and watch like a David Lee Roth Van Halen video.
I just love the jumps.
Look, Hot for Teacher.
Hot for Teacher. Okay, I will look it up.
Something like that.
I just want to share some of my favorite things. I like a Mockbuster.
A Mockbuster. Now, a Mockbuster is a thing that will trick me. I'm sure maybe it's happened to you. I don't know. Where you go to get...
You think it's a legitimate movie. You think it's Transformers, Fall of, Revenge of the Fallen. It turns out to be Transmorphers.
Transmorphers, right. And that is the rip-off.
So it's a rip-off of a Blockbuster. And I just love them. And I just wanted to pick out some of my favorite ones. And I think we might have talked about these before, but I don't care. I'm going to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. Pacific Rim was redone as Atlantic Rim. Which I thought was great. It came out, it released a few days before Pacific Rim.
Oh.
And it's by The Asylum, which is my favorite Mockbuster studio. They did it for $500,000, and Pacific Rim was $190 million.
Mm.
And yet, it holds its own. Yes. Here's another one that I really, really like.
They get me every time. I will be a sucker for one because I'm not reading correctly.
Yes. That's what happens to me. But I look for them.
Oh.
Like, as soon as I see it's like The Asylum, I'm like, oh, I'm watching this. This is it was a movie called, in 2007, The Asylum released direct-to-DVD disaster film, The Apocalypse. It was supposed to be a ripoff of Armageddon, but when the people who were paying for it, they were like, can you make it Christian? They were like, yeah, sure. And so now they have their own Faith Films, which is faith-based film distribution arm of the company. Mm-hmm. So it's the same crappy films, but they put like a faith-based thing on it to make money.
Oh.
They also did a movie called Snakes on a Train. And they're trying to get money for it. So yeah. They make the posters first. And there's a poster of a giant snake like swallowing a train. So they showed this poster to some Japanese investors, and
that's on the train, all right.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the Japanese investors were like, well, does a snake swallow the whole train? They were like, it does now. So they will make, like, to make their money to get the film made, they will do what they have to do.
They just like making movies.
Here's their one. They have Transformers, or Revenge of the Fallen, and they came up with Transmorphers Fall of Man. And apparently, people said it was better. A Transmorphers Fall of Man.
Oh, that's funny.
There's another one called, here it is, remember Paranormal Activity?
Yes.
So they made Paranormal Entity. It was written by Shane Van Dyke, Dick Van Dyke's grandson. Paranormal Entity, quickly forgotten, apparently.
Well, so is he living it up on the family fortune, all that Van Dyke money, and he has the time to write these things?
I guess so. I mean, I think that maybe he was just trying to eat. I don't know.
All right.
Like, that sounds pretty low. So yeah, these are my favorite ones. Here's Prometheus, with Ridley Scott's Prometheus. Mm-hmm. They made Alien Origin. And what I love about these movies is sometimes you can see an entire scene from one of your favorite movies recreated with just different characters and different locations. Like, they don't care. They don't have time. They got to make these things in like a month or two.
Right.
They don't have time to be cute and creative.
No time for creativity.
And they will take any number of movies and mix them together. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, something like the Sharktopus. It's like, well, we think people like octopus. People like shark.
So
people like sharks. People like tornadoes.
Sharknado.
Sharknado. You know, people like pterodactyls, people like barracudas.
Maybe they have to do Octonado.
Octonado?
That's tornadoes and octopus.
It's probably coming out in 2 weeks. We're getting sued. Octonado? Is it an eight-tentacle tornado?
Yeah.
And what's in it?
It's like the octopus and a tornado mixed together.
But, I mean, what does it do besides have eight tentacles?
It spins.
Okay.
It spins. And it really comes inland and destroys.
What about the sequel?
Oh.
Where does it go? The Arctic? People like the Arctic now. It's very hot.
So Arctic Octonado?
Yeah, maybe we take it up to the Arctic. We think it's frozen. Guess what? It's not. Mm. It's learned to adapt.
Oh.
It's become smarter and stronger. It's now and we rip off John Carpenter's The Thing. We rip off one of the Alien v. Predators that takes place out there. And then we rip off something else innocuous.
All right. Arctic Octonado.
Yeah, Arctic Octonado. She's cold. Okay. We have time for one more thing.
A little bit more.
Wow, this is random. I guess our favorite thing is being foolish.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite things here are, in New York, there's a variety of speakeasies.
Yeah.
You go to them, you're like, oh, this is a great idea. I want to go to a speakeasy. You don't even know.
You're still trying to get to the speakeasy.
You're trying to find the place, and you're talking to your friends like, I know it's there. It's behind this door. And then you go through the...
You got to be quick in New York. I just want to say not to break in, because New Yorkers are impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, I know where it is, and you can't find it, your friends are like, look,
you know
I know we've been friends for years, but I got to break off with you here.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly... I'm standing on the street right now. I barely have a signal. I'm not drinking.
Yeah. You have to go down the stairs through somebody's kitchen, you know.
Talk to their grandmother for a second.
Yeah, go to a courtyard, then through another door down the stairs, and there's a speakeasy. It's a whole other world of like...
You have to say alabaster.
Right. Say alabaster, and you get in. And everyone's like, you know, there's music playing, and everyone's drinking out of teacups, and you think this is great. And then you realize you're just in a bar. You just went through... this nonsense to get in there.
And it's just a regular, you're like, what do you want, Paps? And comes in a teacup. What?
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, the magic is over, but you're there. And now you deal.
Now you have to deal with the fact that every drink somehow has egg yolk in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, is there all these, like, weird, like, this is what's in now. Here's what's in for me and what's always been in for a bar. Getting drunk in the bar. That's always good for me. That's a good theme for me. It's drinking.
I mean, drinking in a bar.
Drinking in a bar. Yeah, I know. I know. It's so weird. They try to make it like you get there and you're like, oh, the bar.
Yeah, but I love it. It's like, aww.
It's the fun of getting there. They can just deliver
right.
when you get there.
Right.
And those are some of my favorite things, I guess.
Like raindrops on roses.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Sharks. When the shark bites. That kind of stuff. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. When I'm done, though, I'm going to look at Poison because that's where I get my makeup influence from.
Oh, dear.
Best makeup ever. Best hair and makeup. Those guys always looked sharp.
They always look sharp. One of my, I can't believe I'll admit this, but one of my favorite songs that I can't admit to liking.
Okay. But you're going to?
Millie Vanilli's Girl, You Know It's True.
Are you kidding me? Oh, I gotta counter you, and I say that my song that's like that is the "Color Me Bad." I want to sex you up.
Oh,
really? The worst song ever. But if I hear it, I'll be like, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Do, do, do,
yeah.
Do. Wow, Millie Vanilli.
So, aren't you like happier now that we're talking about those?
I feel I'm a little embarrassed.